This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Thursday, January 21st. Well, we had the wheat markets under some pressure yesterday early, but the markets managed to snap back from those lows and have a respectable close anyway, closing about mid-range on Chicago and Minneapolis, still kind of in the lower third for Kansas City. But the markets starting to show some support down here on this. What for wheat was a two-day break, for corn and beans about a three-day pullback, and we'll see where we go. The night session showing some definite firmness, corn up 9, beans up 15, wheat up about 4 or so. Just to start the day session, we are seeing some selling come in and start to lean on those higher night session values. The export sales report will be out tomorrow because of the Monday holiday. So the market obviously in a correction formation. They were very overbought across all of the grain space, so that's pulling these indicators out of the overbought area, but I don't think it's the end of the road for the grain space. Wheat would probably be the first to kind of struggle here, as the weather issues in South America are part of the big drivers for corn and soybeans. Demand is huge for all the grains. That's really the underlying strong fundamental for them. And so I don't see that changing anytime in the near future. China is going to continue to be a massive buyer of corn and beans. They've started to kind of hint around that they would be looking for some wheat. The domestic buyer in China bought all of the government offers from their reserves, which is really unusual. Every week the government puts out offers of wheat, usually around 1 to 2 million tons, and typically there's hardly any of it bought. But in the last few weeks, we've seen the demand really step up, and last week they bought all of it. That's a big red flag. Number one, pointing to extremely high feed grain prices in China, as they are around the world, and feed producers switching to wheat instead of just corn. So the rising corn prices is lifting all boats, and that is not unusual for wheat, especially in countries where wheat easily is substituted for a feed grain, or where it may still be a part of a main part of the feed grain process. But it's also lifting soybean prices, in addition to soybeans running into some weather problems in South America and very tight end stocks. Stocks to use ratios here in the United States. The battle for acres, I think, is going to start early this year and will continue until everything's planted. You're going to lose some cotton acres. We're going to lose some spring wheat acres. I think farmers will be leaning pretty heavily to corn, but soybeans need to get their acres in as well. So I think that those fundamentals are going to be set right on top of the already very strong demand fundamentals that we have in place. And again, we have a slight supply scare going on in South America. So there's a lot of bullishness in this market. It was due for a pullback, got a little aggressive as far as soybeans go, but the end user stepped up and bought this break. And I think you're going to continue to see that. We haven't seen the panic yet that typically will end a long, strong, demand-driven bull market. We haven't seen demand rationing yet in any of the grains, even though you've got clear signals that some countries are starting to pull back and ration their own supplies. We haven't seen the demand rationing yet. Russia, of course, was the leader for wheat, where last month they decided they would have a 25 euro per ton tariff on wheat exports. A couple weeks ago, they announced that they would be potentially implementing a 50 euro a ton. Well, that hasn't been confirmed yet, but the trade fully expects it'll be at least that, if not more. And that would start on March 1st. So pretty much anything that exporters are originating right now to put on a vessel is going to be running up right up against that time window for the export. So they're just not willing to do that without factoring that price in. So FOB offers have soared coming out of Russia, and Ukraine has kept pace with that. So the Black Sea offers are sharply higher. The Ukraine topped $300 a ton on a FOB offer just this week. So it's just the because Russia is the world's largest wheat exporter, normally they set world price, and if they're going to have an export tariff, that's going to push their prices up. It's going to push all of the world prices up because it'll all just follow that. And that's why the Russian government is considering yet another, at least doubling the tariff, if not putting even more than that, to try to protect domestic supplies enough that domestic prices start to fall and motivate the farmer to sell some wheat. The problem has been is that it's not like Russia has a shortage of wheat, but in the southern region they had a tight crop, and so the exporter had to reach much further inland to secure those supplies to satisfy their export commitments. Well, this is pushing up domestic wheat prices and feed grain prices and bread prices. And so the government has stepped in to try to stall that, but it hasn't worked at this point. And so they're trying to get really aggressive and to say that they're going to have an export tax on the new crop. This will just motivate farmers to move the old crop and get some more supply into the pipeline and bring down those domestic prices. The problem is the farmer in the southern region has plenty of storage space. They're a little long on cash. They sold sunflowers instead of wheat last fall as sunflower prices were strong. Now, that can only last so long. They're still going to have to look at operating costs and getting those finances put together. So you're probably going to see some movement out of there, which really is not going to affect the export market because, again, those tariffs are in place through the end of the marketing year. So the world price will rally up to, it already has rallied up to the 25 euro a ton to match with Russia. It will likely go to wherever the Russian government sets it. And only at that point could more supply come out of Russia into the pipeline, into the world pipeline. So I see world prices continuing to ratchet higher, and U.S. prices have quickly become on par with the rest of the world FOB offers. In fact, we are competing. We see that Nigeria bought 138,000 tons of U.S. hard red winter wheat. So we're starting to capture some of that business. Now, the kicker is that because the Russian government imposed these export tariffs and kind of slow walked some of the loading certificates, the Russian exporter has shut off their FOB offers and the exports much earlier than February 15th. So the estimate now is that Russian exports, the total amount that they would export is significantly lower than what USDA has projected. Those sales likely will come to the United States and Canada. And if it's winter wheat, it's primarily going to be the United States. Europe is not going to be able to handle that. They had a short crop. So that pretty much takes the rest of the Northern Hemisphere out of the game. In the Southern Hemisphere, Argentina ended up with some dryness late in their season. So their production was declining as they went into harvest. Australia is the only country that had just a massive crop this year, and they've been very aggressive selling it. But even they, too, are starting to talk about slowing that down somewhat to protect domestic supplies. So it comes back to the United States. We have adequate supplies of wheat, but if we start selling 3 and 4 and 5 million tons more than what's projected, that quickly takes our stocks down to pretty tight levels. And it obviously continues to underpin the market as we move forward into the end of the marketing year. So then it just depends on weather. You know, of course, we have the dry pockets in the Western Plains and in the Southwest that could start to shave off yields as well. And again, getting back to spring wheat, we're going to lose acres to corn and soybeans across the Dakotas and Minnesota. So, you know, even with good moisture up north, you're going to see a shortened spring wheat crop. That is my estimate. And so I don't see wheat, even if you have a decent sized yield and good production, us being able to really increase our end stocks next year. I just think even with winter wheat acres up about just over 1 million acres, I think spring wheat will be down significantly. So those are the things going on. Wheat is in a demand-led bull market, just like corn and beans. Corn and beans are in a stronger position But wheat is quickly moving into that kind of sentiment with the loss of exports out of the Black Sea, and that demand eventually making its way to the U.S. I think will continue to underpin the wheat market, along with the bull market still in corn and beans. So, we'll get our breaks, we'll get our pullbacks, but I think the end user will be there to buy those pullbacks, and I don't see this bull market ending really anytime soon. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.